It is Free Radio. I'm Adam Wilborn. Very pleased to be joined tonight by Kelly and Richard from the Stereophonics. Hello.
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 How art thou?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah,
good.
Lovely to speak to you again. Great to have you guys back. Back with a ninth album. Must be nice.
Album number 9, yeah. It's our 20th year next year, so I think, you know, every couple of years we brought out a new one, so we're excited about this one. Looking forward to playing it live and stuff, yeah.
I read that. I couldn't quite believe it. You've been doing this for 20 years. And I remember growing up listening to, you know, Just Enough Education to Perform and stuff like that. It's a crazy amount of time you've been doing this for.
I was just listening to that record this morning to learn some songs because I couldn't remember how to play them. It's been a good journey, anyway. It's been good, you know. Mm. We all still like each other. We all still go out for a pint, so that's good news.
That's good to know. It's been a long journey from what I read somewhere, putting demo tapes in takeaway cartons and shoes to send out.
Yeah, they were the days. The woman in the post office used to think I was an insane man. But, yeah, I mean, gimmicks, they didn't work, really, the gimmicks. No. Sending things off in crisp boxes and, you know, pairs of shoes, they didn't work.
Yeah, it's a lot easier nowadays. Just send an email with a funny attachment and hope for the best. So what's it been like, you know, over this sort of 19, 20-year period? How have you seen everything change? And what has it been like being a band throughout all of this?
Well, it's changed. I mean, me and Richard have been in a band on and off since, you know, since teenagers. So getting the record deal in 96 was after, you know, all the Britpop stuff, and so we come up behind a huge British music scene, and then we watched a lot of it fall apart and die away, and then of course it all went digital and stuff like that. So I mean, there's been pop things coming in and out and rock things, and for us, we've always just tried to make records that are true to us at the time we make them, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. But what was interesting last week when I saw the single in iTunes charts, you know, we were in like the top 10 or top 15 or whatever it was, and I genuinely, honestly did not know the other 14 people in that chat.
It's got to that point.
But I got to the point, I thought, well, we must be still relevant because we're still in it, but I didn't have a clue anybody else was.
No collaborations in the future with those. Just
There's no featuring anybody on our record.
No,
it's just featuring us.
I saw you on your Facebook a while back reminiscing about a very surreal moment for, I think, any band when you played Five-A-Side with the likes of David Bowie.
Yeah, it was strange having the thin white Duke heckling you on the side of the side of the football pitch. And we lost. We'd won the trophy once from the U2 crew, but then we lost it to David Bowie, and we were on stage one night and this trophy was coming down behind us on a piece of string like Spinal Tap. And he came on and told all the audience how crap we were at football and we lost. So if you're going to lose Five-A-Side to anybody,
yes,
you know, lose it to Ziggy Stardust, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. But like you said, you are back with this new album, Keep the Village Alive, which is going to be released on the 11th of September, and this fantastic new song, C'est La Vie, which is a bit of a different sound from your last album, but you must be really happy with it.
It was good. It was a good time in the studio, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been really good. You know, we still do the same thing when we go into the studio. We try and make, you know, records that are relevant today, and, you know, like put as much effort as we have always put into them. So,
and you've had a great reaction from this new single, C'est La Vie. I saw Kelly mentioning about playing it for one of the first times at a Six Nation party you were hosting, and the reaction seemed to be rather good.
It's been pretty good, yeah. I think we've done it 2-3 times now live, and thankfully I've got to the end without collapsing. But it's one of those songs that makes people feel good, you know.
Absolutely.
It's kind of, I always wanted to write a song a bit like my generation, so when you put it on, you want to, you know, smash the house up and drive your car fast. And it kind of came about very spontaneously in the studio. I mean, it was literally written and recorded within an hour, that song.
Wow.
And we didn't listen to it for about 6 months. It was probably ready to go on Graffiti on the Train, but we didn't. We forgot. And then we listened to it again. I thought, oh, that's pretty good.
am I right in thinking, I'm not sure where I saw this, that when you played it, you were riding your BMX around the living room? Was that, did that happen, or did I dream that? Yeah. Reading that?
No, that did happen. That was a mistake. That was. Yeah, I watched the rugby that afternoon, and a few of the boys came back to the house, and they'd ordered a curry, and I was I've been telling some of the boys while I was in the pub that I've got a mongoose in my shed in the garden. And they said, you haven't got a mongoose? I said, I have. I always wanted one when I was a kid, but I never bought one. So I had this mongoose and I brought it into the house and they were in the kitchen and I started riding it around my living room, but I didn't realise the tyres were flat and I slid off and smashed my head on the floor. So they saw me on the mongoose, but on the floor, and they thought I was gone. So, you know, when you get to that age, you shouldn't be driving mongooses around your living room, is the moral of the story, especially after about 10 pints of Guinness.
Yes, so these rock and roll injuries nowadays, that's the thing that happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, it could have been a Bono, couldn't it?
Yeah, it's a very good point, yeah. And you celebrated your 41st birthday the other day. How was that? What did you get up to for that?
We both did. Me and Richard are a week apart.
Oh, really?
And and Stuart as well was on the 19th, so when we were all, you know, travelling around the world together, we were always having a two-week bender because it was an excuse every 6 days there was somebody's birthday. So we went to the pub after rehearsals, and then we went back to my house, which has now been renamed Vinyl Island because it's nice and warm there and there's always vinyl being played all night. So that's what we did, really.
And speaking of birthdays, I saw you singing with Rob Brydon at his 50th birthday, a surreal moment for anyone, I would assume. What was that like?
Is that on YouTube?
I think. Well, I've seen pictures definitely, and I've seen good. Sort of witness accounts of it.
As long as there's no audio, that's okay. well, it was a very surreal party because it was a bit like walking into ITV. You know, you're sitting on a table and you got David Walliams and Steve Coogan, David Baddiel, and then he says, "Do you want to get up and do a song?" And he said, "I'll be Tom Jones." And Mama told me not to come, and you'll be you. I thought, all right. So it was a good night there. It was really good.
You can't really say no to that sort of a request, I suppose, when it is someone's birthday.
Yeah, but you know what it's like. Once you get on stage, you don't want to get off. And no. Then I was on there playing songs I didn't know, so it was terrible.
And you are going to be round here this summer. You are headlining V Festival. How much are you looking forward to getting out of there and performing this new stuff live?
Yeah, really, really looking forward to getting back on the festival circuit. You know, I think it's 2 years since we played them last. It's always good doing the V Festival. I think we're doing Tina Park and Belsonic out in Belfast as well. So, yeah, it'd be a good summer for us.
And a lot of your fans are very much looking forward to seeing you perform live, because I see them all over on Facebook and Twitter, and they're very big supporters of you guys.
Yeah, yeah. They've been brilliant. I mean, like I said, you know, for us to be doing this for 20 years, and we've always changed the style of the band slightly on every record, and, you know, for us, it's always been about getting new fans and keeping fans, you know. So our front row is like a revolving door, really. It's always, you know, 15 to 18-year-olds in the front, and the age kind of bracket goes back to the people that's been following us from day one, really. So we've been very, very lucky and, you know, just tried to keep making music that's true to what we want to do, really.
And you have very passionate fans, one of which is, of course, Wayne Rooney. This has been mentioned a lot of times. Is it ever the case that you know, as you know Wayne and being the man that he is, you ever give him like a sneak peek at things or ask his opinion on certain songs or anything like that?
I gave him a preview of an album before last. I remember meeting him in an hotel in London. I think he was down training with United. But I haven't seen him for a while. He's been super football focused, which is obviously he should be, because that's his job. But I've seen his missus a couple of times, but I haven't seen Wayne for a bit. I think he's turned a corner in his professionalism, and he stays away from the pub now.
He's got his head down now, isn't he?
Got his head down.
There's a bad influence on him, that's it now, yeah.
Well, you should meet his mates, they were a bad influence. Yeah. There was a lot of nonsense going on there, but yeah. Good on him.
Kelly,
he should still play for Leeds, though, man. Yeah. You know, that's another story.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Kelly, I saw a photo of you and Tom Jones hanging out a while back, and obviously Tom was a judge on The Voice, and I know you've mentioned before about being asked to judge on The Voice, and what with all the talk about X Factor at the moment, is there ever a case that you would ever consider doing a judging role on something like that?
I don't think so. I mean, I like watching the shows on the weekend, you know, with my daughters and stuff. They like it because it's light-hearted and it's, you know, Saturday night telly, and I'll sit there with a bottle of wine dumbing myself watching it. But I think for Tom Jones, I think it's the perfect job, really, because it keeps Tom's profile doing that for a few months, and then he goes off and, you know, does his tours and makes his records with Ethan Johns, and he's doing brilliant stuff. So I wouldn't really want to be judging kids about what to do and what not to do, especially when the prize at the end of it is not really a lot going on, to be honest. A lot of these shows, they don't really offer much at the end. And But no, it's not really for me. I don't mind watching them, but I don't really want to be part of it.
I think the thing would be is, like you mentioned earlier with not knowing the artist, they'd perform new songs that are in the charts and you'd be like, I've no idea if you've sung that right or
exactly.
not, to be honest.